Have you ever wondered how a student's lifestyle, whether it's growing up on a farm, how about a bustling city or a coastline, how about a mountain, how does that shape their educational experiences? Today, we're uncovering how lifestyle and learning are deeply connected and exploring some inspiring examples from across the U.S. and even around the world. As you listen, think about your own community. How has it influenced your learning or your teaching experience? Let's explore this together. Welcome to the Traveling Principal Show. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to the Traveling Principal Show. My name is Joe Colossi, and I am your host of this show. Excited to be here with you with some new equipment. Clearly we're coming at you guys with some new technology. So without further ado, let's get right up into it because I want you to know there's something very important here that needs to be thought about while you're listening to today's show. As you're listening, think about your own community, okay? Think about how that community environment itself, the physical layout of your community, how that has influenced your learning or even your teaching experience, or if you are a school leader, how does that influence and motivate how you get down on a daily basis? Let's explore this together. Okay, guys, so we're going to start off this show with this lifestyle to education connection, which I just think is phenomenal. And it's what we are always trying to talk about when we discuss career and technical education on the show. However, this is a little bit more intrinsic because everything that we're going to be talking about is a direct connection between the school and the environment that the school is geographically located in. And so I'm excited to bring you this one. Let's start with going to some rural farm towns. And my source here is the FFA.org, which is extremely reputable. You'll find in several states, et cetera. But in this particular area, we're going to go to, my friends in Iowa. And so Urban Ag, Oasis, which is the title of this article on FFA.org. I'm just going to quote a little bit from it here because it's phenomenal. And it's a conglomerate of this innovators in grain production, John Deere, Corteva, World Food Prize, FarmHer, and more. Iowa is deep-seated in this agricultural and rural farming experience, right? And so while the FFA in Iowa has commonly focused on rural communities, the trend today, attracting an audience of workers, this trend today is not people from rural communities so much as it is urban communities. What draws urban students to take agricultural classes and become these FFA members, the article goes on to ask. And the reasons it gives are, it varies, but in most cases, the opportunity to learn about land and livestock inside of the city limits is too interesting and accessible for these kids to pass up, these students to pass up, right? So ag education, these students are coming from seven different high schools to study current issues in this state and in other states as well, but members of the FFA chapters, specifically in Des Moines, they have specific benefits, but also an opportunity for community outreach with animals through volunteering programs. At the local grocery store last fall, several FFA members were promoting this pork grown by area youth, handing out samples, cookbooks, meat thermometers, etc., which I thought was just a brilliant way to market, right? When we're talking about, we're really looking to let the world know what we have going on, or let the community know. Maybe we want to grow the population of the school. There's really no better way than offering this connection. The students who raised specific pigs for this, the pork producers, donated one to a local food bank, and the remaining 11 were sold at a local grocery store. And so as a superintendent, you would love to know that your own school has some sort of a revenue source, let alone a realistic part that it plays in just the whole community itself. So, okay, let's take a look at another one here when we're talking about some urban tech hubs. Of course, I would be remiss if I didn't say anything at all about Silicon Valley, right? And Silicon Valley is a very interesting place. They've dumped quite a bit of money into Silicon Valley schools with innovative labs and partnerships with tech companies. A resource there is Silicon School Funds. It's a .com, siliconschools.com. You can go on that website and check out all that they have to offer there. But I didn't want to leave that out because I know that we're talking about ag, and so this is a good compliment there. Let's have a quick, close personal discussion, if you will. What I'm interested in talking about really quickly and just getting your mind thinking in this mode, how does your local lifestyle influence the way students learn and what they're taught? Just marinate on that for a second, because a lot of schools could benefit from that discussion, and it's rarely had, although extremely important, and something that I highly request school leaders or educators to start to ponder. What is that connection? Where is the influence? And if you don't have a good, solid answer, why not? Okay, guys, so let's take a look at some different examples from in and around the U.S. And also, let's continue to go international and take a look at some real awesome things that I've been seeing out there that are just totally worth you guys checking out. So I want everybody to know a few of these schools. In my research here, I actually stumbled upon a couple where I was like, man, I got to spend a little bit more time talking about stuff like this because it's just phenomenal. What I'm seeing that's happening out there is just phenomenal. And so this first story revolves around this Navajo community in New Mexico, reviving tradition through modern education. And if you will, imagine a classroom setting where you are in the heart of the Navajo Nation, where students begin their day learning about constellations. First through traditional Navajo star stories, then through the lens of modern astronomy. So the cultural tale of the Great Warrior Twins inspires a science lesson about navigation and the physics of celestial movement. Practice here would be schools in the Navajo Nation are creating dynamic curriculums that blend Diné teachings with STEM or STEAM, such as using traditional methods to analyze environmental challenges like water conservation. An actual example on the Navajo Nation Department of Diné Education's website, where students engage in a restoring of the land project, integrating indigenous farming techniques with soil health to research and combat drought conditions. I mean, you know, what better way to keep things going, to sustain, to make better than to study what we've done and improve upon it. So that's an awesome example right there. Okay, so this next example here, we're going to go international. We're going to go all the way to Vietnam. Vietnam's environmental focus, Save Vietnam's Wildlife, has created this first immersive and carnivore and pangolin education center in Vietnam. A unique place to open that's open to the public to explore and learn about wildlife conservation. Let me tell you exactly what happened here. So Vietnam's wildlife had rescued some confiscated carnivores and pangolins from illegal hunting and trading, which is like, wow, okay. After being treated, these animals are released back into the wild to replenish wild populations. But the NGO holds six species of carnivores and pangolins that cannot be released for various reasons, and it found an appropriate placement for these animals to ensure their welfare and conservation of the educational value. The solution that raises awareness and educates those in Vietnam is this Save Vietnam's Wildlife created the first immersive and carnivore and pangolin education center in Vietnam, which I just think is fantastic. It's located in, I'll put the link down there, but it's, I think, Cuc Pong Phong National Park. Sorry if I totally butchered that one. I really did not mean to at all. I'm so sorry. However, there's a link I'll drop in here as well that revolves around UNESCO.org. And so you could read all about it, and I'll put it in the show notes. But all the way over at Vietnam, I mean, what better way to preserve life and to ensure that, you know, education is a priority. There's health and safety is also a priority. I mean, that's an awesome combo there. Well done. So for this next one, I'm excited to bring to you, it's like a day in a life of a student in Montana. Montana Ranch students, you know, in Big Sky High School in Missoula operates a unique farm-to-table program where students raise livestock and process meat in a state-inspected facility, providing beef for their own school lunches. Oh my gosh, you guys, that's like the best thing I've heard. I couldn't even tell you in how long, and I was a vegan for a really long time. So I'll just tell you, still super cool. Still super cool. I'm like so stoked that they're doing these types of things there in Montana. And you can read all about this on the TSLN.com website, which revolves around Missoula County Public Schools, which is the unique opportunity that they speak about here. Blending ranch life and real world science. Picture 14-year-old Emma, a student in rural Montana, starting her day at dawn by helping her family feed and water cattle. As the sun rises over the vast plains, Emma collects soil samples from fields, a task tied to her school project on sustainable grazing practices. School. Later that day in science class, she uses the soil samples to analyze nitrogen levels, linking her ranch work to lessons on environmental sustainability and agricultural innovation. Emma's school partners with local ranchers to provide hands-on learning experiences. Students work on initiatives like water conservation for irrigation and using drones to monitor the health of livestock. You can read more about this all as well on tsln.com, where you'll read about Big Sky farm-to-table programs. Really stoked that they're doing that in Montana. Well done, you guys. So you might be thinking to yourself, what can we do with all of this information now that we know? And my advice to you is incorporating culturally responsive teaching strategies will significantly enhance student engagement. In addition, you're connecting learning outcomes to educational content, and you're throwing in this connection to cultural backgrounds, community experiences, sustainability. Everybody wins when we educate like this. Here's another example for you. How about integrating local fishing culture into a science curriculum? And I know a lot of science teachers that would be stoked to do something like this. But in coastal communities where fishing is a central aspect of life, educators can enrich science lessons by incorporating elements of local marine ecosystems and fishing practices. Teachers can design projects where students collect and analyze water samples. They can study marine biology, environmental science concepts. This hands-on approach, you guys, not only makes learning more relevant, but also fosters this deeper connection to the community's cultural heritage, to the sustainability of how everybody lives. Again, you can research a little bit more about those options on edutopia.org. I highly recommend that if your school is doing well and you're wondering what to do next, this is an excellent direction for you guys to begin to think about and focus on. Okay, you guys, so I would be... it wouldn't be me if I didn't bring up something about the actual notion of project-based learning and what that does to this process, because ultimately what we are talking about is project-based learning, but on a much grander scale, one that is like just monumental with regards to the impact that it can have, But I definitely will also put a link from projectbasedlearningworks.org, pblworks.org, as a resource here as well, encouraging some educators to use student lifestyles as an asset for engagement. Some practical tips, if this is something that you're thinking about, you can start each lesson by connecting the material to students' daily lives, inviting local community members to share expertise tied to your curriculum. Watch the engagement rise through the roof when you do something like this. Education is more than just facts and figures. It's a living, breathing reflection of our communities, our traditions, and the unique ways that we experience life. From the ranches of Montana and the fishing villages of the coast, every student's story deserves to be a part of their education. By honoring these stories, we create schools that can not only teach, but also inspire and empower. Here's my challenge to schools everywhere. I want you to take a look at the communities that you serve. How are you weaving their cultural, their lifestyles, their experiences into the classroom? Whether it's incorporating local traditions, using nearby resources, or partnering with community leaders, there's always an opportunity to make education more meaningful and relevant. And it does not necessarily have to always come from the teacher, right? So important to know. Let's commit to creating classrooms that are unique and vibrant as the students who fill them. If this message resonates with you guys, let's keep the conversation going. Hit that like button, subscribe to the Traveling Principal channel, and share this episode with your community. And don't forget to drop a comment as well. If you know of a good school that I should definitely shout out, how does your school honor the lifestyles and cultures of its students? Because I'd love to hear more of your stories together. We can make education a true celebration of life. Thanks for listening to Traveling Principal, you guys. Tune in next week for more.
Thank you for listening to the Travel Show.
The Traveling Principal Show.
Principal. Okay, start all over.
All right, go ahead.
Thank you for listening to the Travel Principal Show.
Perfect.